Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
I actually think at 9:30 a.m. this morning, we had maybe the greatest 5 minutes of radio on YouTube ever. I mean, that's the way I look at it. I mean, you know, now that we're actually on YouTube, we can make it a video show. Not this show is not on YouTube. Not right now. Maybe in the future. It is on our Facebook page on Mondays during the season. But who knows down the road. 9:30 a.m. I jumped in what we call the bullpen, which is the chat on the YouTube stream for Jeremy and Joe, and I jumped in and said, do you guys think that Jeremy and Joe would get mad if I brought my brand new driver in to show it off and be cool? They're like, no, they'd be jealous. I don't think they're that jealous. They're like, yeah, it's cool, but as Jeremy said, it's also left-handed. Why would I be jealous? Very good point, Jeremy. Somebody in the chat said, when I brought it in, I showed it, I'm like, woo, my new driver, I haven't used it yet. Going to the driving range today, and that's why I'm wearing shorts and t-shirt today on a day that's going to rain later. I got to get it out first. Get out there first before that happens. I figured I'm going to go out there today, going to try this. And what I'm debating in my head is, how do I do it? Like, do I warm up with some irons first and just go right at it and say, I'm just putting this darn thing on the tee and going. What do you think, Josh?
I feel like you got to do some
irons. I brought a few irons.
I think you should do, like, do you have like long irons or like?
No, I brought a seven, a pitching wedge, and I did bring a wood.
I'd start with the wood, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm trying to think like what would be comparable to it, but it's not.
Well, usually the way I would normally warm up is, especially early in the season going to the ranges, take a much shorter club, just something to swing a little bit with.
Owen actually has some suggestions for
okay.
you.
Okay. Owen, what do you got? Here.
I just went through a very similar process.
Oh, okay.
I just got a new driver as well. I didn't get fitted for it. A little different.
All right.
But I just picked one up, and I went immediately from the golf store to the paddock dome and hit like 45 drivers straight. I didn't even bring another club into the room.
How did that go for you?
Awesome. I hit like four bad ones to start, and then I figured it out, and it was great.
Oh,
I played
right.
Diamond Hawk on Friday. With
but
Jerry
you didn't like walk
Josh.
Away going, I am so sore from that.
I was definitely sweating by the end of the session.
That I mean, like, sure. That's a lot of, I mean, how many times you hit a driver in a round anyway? 14?
Yeah, not as many times as I hit. I probably hit mine were three rounds of golf. I hit that driver just in that session. It was great, though. I figured it out. I went and played the next day with it. I hit it pretty good.
Okay. All right.
Hit it pretty good is modest. Owen was mashing it off the tee box.
What did you wind up like?
I got a TaylorMade QI10 Max.
Okay.
Last year's TaylorMade driver.
Yeah, yeah. That's the thing. When I got mine, they're like, well, we got the new model or last year's. I'm like, well, it's not used, right? No. Why would I pay that much more money for 1 year? I guess people would do that. I didn't want to do it.
I didn't want to do it either. I paid $150 less for what I'm assuming is
just as good, right?
So
I know. For me, the only issue was they're like, well, because you're left-handed and you need this specific type and it's last year's, they had to search. There was one left at the warehouse.
Oh, there you go. Got lucky.
So that's why I had to wait a couple weeks. A couple weeks ago, I got fitted, and that happened. So I came in today. I showed it on the YouTube stream, and we had a good time with it. Yeah, so the possibilities are endless on this YouTube stream. I might have to – a lot of times I do the show here from Studio Capaccio because it doesn't really matter. Like, I might have to pop in a little bit more just to have some fun with the guys, you know, at 9:30 or 9:45.
As you came in, they were sampling my beef jerky.
I heard about that. Yeah. What is up with this? You made your own beef jerky.
Well, so I told you yesterday that I'm going to be off tomorrow because I'm going on a backpacking trip this weekend with my buddies. And I made some beef jerky for the trip. Never made beef jerky before, but I discovered that my air fryer has a dehydrate button. So I tested that out yesterday. Made some black pepper beef jerky from a big 2.5-pound roast. And It was good. I liked it, and I didn't know what everyone else was going to think, so I was like, oh, I'll just sample it.
You have some more here?
I don't, unfortunately. They ate it all. I brought enough.
They liked it that much.
I brought enough, and then they just ate it all.
Bring some next week if you have any.
Yeah. Oh, I have 2.5 pounds.
So. Oh, you do?
Well, I'm 2.5 pounds worth of meat.
I am a beef jerky fan. I like beef jerky.
I like beef jerky a lot, too. It's just so expensive.
So, on that note, real quick, one of the reasons I brought it up was there was somebody in the chat box, Laura, I think. Thank you, Laura, in the bullpen, if you're still listening. Laura said, as a few people, oh, Sal's a lefty just like me. I am right-handed, but I do golf left-handed. I am right-handed. I swing all sticks left-handed. I golf left-handed. I hit a baseball bat left-handed. I shoot hockey left-handed. But I golf right. I mean, but I'm a right-handed person. I write with my right hand. I eat with my right hand. Everything I do is my right hand.
My dad's like that too, except he only plays hockey left-handed. Everything else is right-handed.
Mm-hmm.
Only hockey is left-handed.
Well, I always tell people
and I don't
this.
Know
so,
why.
So there's going to be people telling me now, oh, I'm the same way or I'm opposite and I do this lefty, I do this right. I get it all the time. That's fine. I think it's totally natural to be one dominant hand but swing sticks a different hand. What I think is weird is when people swing different sticks different ways. Well, I golf lefty but shoot hockey righty. It's kind of weird for me to think about that, right?
That's like my dad. My dad plays hockey lefty but plays baseball righty. It's super
I don't know,
weird.
Maybe someone gave him a lefty hockey stick when he was young and just naturally did
that, right? See, hockey, I think, is the one where it's like you have, if you are given a lefty or a righty first, then you might just go that way regardless.
Do you want to hear the, I'm going to look this up right now again to make sure I'm right on this, okay? So do you want to hear, what is really odd though, I always tell people this stat. It's just crazy. This is a cool sports stat to bring to your friends today, okay? Hold on. Okay, here we go. Okay, let me see. Cool. Okay. I just want to make sure that I have this right. In Major League Baseball, this is a cool stat. I think I have to make sure this is exactly right. It is very, very rare for it is not that rare to do what I do, and a lot of you do, which is throw right but bat left. Okay, throw right but bat left. It is extremely rare for a Major League player to throw left and bat right. Totally out, right? Isn't that weird? The throw right, bat left is not rare. Lots of guys do it. Throw left, bat right. I'm going to tell you about it. And here's, okay, throw left. Bat right. I'm going to type this in and throw left. And the reason I think it's a really cool stat, you can go impress your friends with this today. I have read last year, there were only two actual major league position players who did it in the entire Major League Baseball. Now, you have switch hitters, but I'm talking about
throw specifically.
Left, bat right. That's it.
Only two.
Only two, and they were both on the Astros. That's correct.
That's kind of weird that they're both on the same team.
Yeah, so I want to make sure I have that right, and you can go take a look at it. But I will tell you, there have been players over the years, like Ricky Henderson was one of them. If you're a Ricky Henderson fan, you remember Ricky Henderson. Ricky Henderson threw left but batted right. But go check it out. I have to find out who these guys are. I think the Astros had two guys. Here, let me just look this up real quick. Here we go. Houston, here it is. This is from last year, Josh, okay? Houston has the only two position players in the league. Pitchers don't count, okay? Position players in the league who throw left and bat right. Chaz McCormick and Jake Myers. That's it. That is wild to me. So go impress your friends and ask them, hey, how many major leaguers, position players, not pitchers, go impress your friends tonight and say, how many last year regular position players who played, you know, regularly actually threw left and batted right? And you're going to get, like, I don't know, a couple hundred? No, two. Chaz McCormick and Jake Myers both play for the Astros. Not switch hitters, but that's it.
I was trying to do the math real quick to see, like, the percentage, because there's only two. But how many active players are there in the MLB right now in just position players? There's 760 counting pitchers. Or 780. Sorry, I read that wrong. But there's, you know,
well, you have eight players a team. So it's basically eight players a team.
That's an easier way to think about it. I didn't think about it that way.
Yeah, so eight players a team.
With a few substitutions.
With a few substitutions to play regularly.
So let's say 12 players each team.
Mm-hmm.
That's
how many are you talking about? 300? Over 300? 360?
Yeah, just a bit over 300, yeah.
So there you go.
Wow.
That's wild, right?
That is crazy. And then think of how millions of players in the world.
And, now, a lot of people at the younger levels do it. It's just weird to get to that level and be able to do
it. Right.
I think a lot of it's because you are reducing the number of possibilities because baseball is such a right-handed thrower's game because infielders are all right-handed except for the first baseman a lot of times because you're throwing that way. So baseball is such a right-handed thrower's game that you're also kind of narrowing your possibilities to have a lefty thrower, righty batter. So that's probably why. Anyway, pretty interesting, right? So when I came in today with my golf club, people were like, oh, I hit lefty too, or I'm a lefty. I'm right-handed, but I hit all sticks left-handed, which is kind of interesting. And a lot of you do the same thing out there. It doesn't mean it's going to go well. We'll find out today when I hit the range out there. All right, today we have a very loaded show for you in a lot of ways. And we're going to continue on with learning about Bill's draft picks. We're going to learn about Chase Lunt, who was their sixth-round pick, an offensive lineman out of UConn, with Joe Arruda. Joe is a UConn men's basketball and football writer at the Hartford Courant. And we're also going to learn about Caden Prather, Bill's wide receiver they drafted in the seventh round, from Jeff Ehrman. Jeff used to be at the Washington Post and Fox Sports. He's now at Inside Maryland Sports, so he covers the Maryland Terrapins. We're also today going to talk with Jonathan Peterlin. I believe Jonathan was on the station a few days ago and on the morning show, but different time slot. And now we do know that Elijah Moore is a member of the Buffalo Bills, so we can talk with him about the signing of Elijah Moore. He's an afternoon host, by the way. Jonathan is on 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. We'll get his thoughts on Elijah Moore on the Buffalo Bills and also take a look back at the Cleveland Browns draft. 803-0550 is the telephone number. I want to get your thoughts on Elijah Moore joining the Buffalo Bills. Matt Bove and I last night recorded a podcast. We talked a lot about who's in, who's out, possibilities in the wide receiver room, how Moore actually fit and what his role might be, and the current 89-man roster. So I kind of went through this exercise last night, and I want to bring it to you, but lots more stuff at the podcast. It's always Game Day in Buffalo with Matt Bove and me, and you can check that out. I tweeted it out, and it's also at the Sal Sports YouTube channel. So a lot of my thoughts from last night were kind of right off the cuff, and now I'm back here today at 10 o'clock to kind of get into it again with you and see where you're at with this. What do you think? I don't need to get into all the stuff that happened with Brandon Bean on Monday again when rehash all that on WGR. Yes, I know there is a point to be made about the discussion that happened on Monday here on the radio station. And then shortly after, Moore is in for a visit, which was already pre-planned, and then they do sign Moore. Yes, there's a discussion about that. I get it. I just want to get from you what you think about this move and if it helps the way you think about the Bills' wide receiver room, if you still think they need to do more, no pun intended, if you think that this is something that could really pop for the Bills, or if it kind of is not a needle mover for you. Really, that's what I'm asking. 803-0550 is the telephone number if you want to jump on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And of course, you can always tweet me at Sal Sports. We are always getting connected with you, our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. The way I see Elijah Moore right now is as the Bills' fourth or fifth wide receiver. Again, what I try to do here all the time, and I say this to people, when you tell me, you know, you ask me like how I see things, it's not about how I see things. It's how I think the Bills see it, okay? And the way I think the Bills see it is Shakir is clearly their number one. Now, when you say number one, what does that mean? He's not obviously Jamar Chase. He's not Justin Jefferson. Not that type of number one wide receiver. Not even Stephon Diggs. But he's their main guy. Most targets than anybody on the team. He's going to be on the field a lot. He's their main guy. We know that. I say Keon Coleman is number two. The Bills need him to be number two. They want him to be number two. If not, it is a really, really whiff of a draft pick from a year ago. If he can't be really a big part of their offense, whether I say two or three, I mean, because I think Josh Palmer comes into play here. But to me, Keon Coleman is their main outside wide receiver who needs to be that guy this year. That's how the Bills see it. They spent the number 33 overall pick last year in the NFL draft on this kid. He was starting to play really well. He gets hurt. He comes back at the end of the year, and it wasn't the same. We know that from Sean McDermott. We know that from Brandon Bean. And a lot of people, I think, took their comments about Keon Coleman to kind of mean that they're soured on him. They're out on him. Not at all. That's not ever what I thought about it. Not after 1 year. I think they kept telling us, look, he's young. We just need more there. But I think they've always had faith and, you know, that that would happen. And he's going to go into this season, I think, as their main outside guy and, to me, number two wide receiver. Now, if you want to argue that maybe Josh Palmer becomes that, that's fine. I don't think there's going to be much of a differentiation between the top three, to be quite honest with you. I mean, Khalil Shakir's going to be on the field a lot, but I mean, Shakir, Coleman, and Palmer, I could make a legit argument for any one of them that they're going to be the main guy for Josh Allen. Because look what they paid Josh Palmer, $9 million. It's not an extraordinary contract, but it's enough of a contract to say he's playing. He's going to be on the field. We need him. And look at his skill set. What was Josh Palmer when the Bills went out and got him this year as a free agent? He was the guy that could be able to get open, get separation, beat man-to-man defense. That's what they needed. So I think there's kind of a line here. The top three, Shakir, Coleman, Palmer, how you want to align them on the field specifically, how you want to talk about them with number of targets, that's fine. Maybe it washes out a different order, a different way, but I do think that those are the top three. Okay. The next two, I think there's a line here. Bam, there's a space, there's a separation. Then you get to the next two. That includes Curtis Samuel and Elijah Moore. Those are the only two in this tier. So if I do tiers, my tier one is Shakir, Coleman, Palmer. My tier two is Samuel and Moore. Now, if you want to argue and say you think Elijah Moore could be better and beat out Curtis Samuel for the quote-unquote number four wide receiver, no argument from me. I'll give you that. I just don't know if there's a difference anyway between four and five on this team when you're talking about these two guys. Where there could be a difference, and Joe brought it up this morning. We talked about this, and he asked me when I came out with them. Where there could be a difference is the number five guy a guy you have to have and rely on to play special teams? And typically, I would say yes. I think that is what you want. Typically, you want your fifth wide receiver to be a special teams contributor. But it doesn't always have to be that way if it doesn't fit that way, right? You don't want to force it. And in this case, I would say this is where I give Laviska Shenault a chance to be the sixth wide receiver. Maybe even five if Elijah Moore doesn't have what the Bills think he can have and bring to the table. I think that might be a stretch, though. I just don't see, and a lot of you have brought up, oh, this is a guy that's going to replace Curtis Samuel. I just don't see the Bills eating. Well, I guess you could now. I'm looking at it now. No, that's right. This year they wouldn't be able to do it. The Bills are not eating Curtis Samuel's contract right now. They're not doing it. They'd eat $12 million, actually $15 million with no savings. Not happening. Curtis Samuel's on this team. Money matters here when it comes to that much. Want to talk about next year? That's a way different conversation. His contract and moving on from him, you're actually saving quite a bit of money. $6 million, I believe, I'm reading from Over the Cap right now. Spot Track, Over the Cap, either way you want to go, they got this for you. So the way I look at it is, Curtis Samuel's on the team. The question is he four and Elijah Moore is five? Or is he five and Elijah Moore is four? Okay. Both possibilities. You know what else is possible? That Elijah Moore comes into Buffalo, and through OTAs, minicamp, and training camp, he just doesn't pop. He doesn't hit the way that they expect and the way they need, the way they want. Now you have to think about, okay, you could probably move on from him because what's the guaranteed money there? We don't know yet. It's not going to be extraordinary. If you do have to eat like $3.5 million, they've done stuff like that before. Didn't they do that with MVS? I think MVS was eating like $4 million. If I remember right. So you could do it. Then you open the door for a Tyrell Shavers, who could be a guy that can play special teams, can help out, I mean, as in some role there. I'm not giving much space right now to Jalen Virgil or KJ Hamler, although Virgil actually did get signed to the active roster last year. And Hamler is another guy who can contribute on special teams and return punts. But these guys have been in the league. They haven't really carved out a big enough and good enough role to stick. So I'm not going to anticipate right now that that is something that's going to happen right here in Buffalo. I'm not going to give Caden Prather much space right now. We're going to talk about him with our guest a little bit later. He's a seventh-round pick. Perfect guy to release at the end, put him on the practice squad. If somebody takes him via waivers, you live with it. But otherwise, you develop him. I know people have thrown around the name Justin Shorter. I don't think he's necessarily like the comparable to Justin Shorter, but I think that the process of the player and how his career could go and where he starts out and all that could be very similar, which is, hey, seventh-round pick, not going to make the roster right now, not enough room, put him on the practice squad, let's see. And then you have a few guys that are coming in, reportedly, for rookie minicamp as undrafted free agents. So that's how I handicap this. I have one tier of Shakir Coleman Palmer, another tier of Samuel Moore. And I think then it stops where that's where you're ending and these guys are making the team. The next tier is Shenault and Shavers. Both of them, one of them would have to beat out a guy above them, and or for Shenault, maybe he's in his own tier for this, he actually has to just show he is so good at returning kicks, you have to keep him on the team. And that's fine. If you do that, then you're trimming from another spot around the roster. One of the things that I've read from a lot of you out there, at Sal Sports, by the way, on Twitter, hope you're not only following, but subscribing as well. I appreciate that. Got some stuff for subscribers on there. One of the things that I'm hearing from people is that Shenault is in a battle with Codrington. They're not going to keep them both. I don't think that's true at all. It may work out they don't keep them both, but that would be because of LaVisca Shenault not making it. Like, I can't see right now how Brandon Codrington's not making this team unless someone like Daquan Hardy beats him out. I mean, Elijah Moore did return some punts. KJ Hamler has, right? So you could, guys like that could do it. Theoretically, I just think, you know, Brandon Codrington, this guy was good last year. He was fourth in the NFL in punt return average. He's on a rookie, second-year rookie contract for a seventh-round pick. He's cheap as heck. You keep guys like that. The Bills are going to have two kick returners. They're not going to put one guy back there. The dynamic kick return, moving it up to the 35-yard line, they're going to need two guys. They're going to want two guys. They've talked about this. It's going to be probably Brandon Codrington and either a running back like Ty Johnson, Ray Davis, or Brandon Codrington and LaVisca Shenault, which I think he's going to get every opportunity. So LaVisca Shenault is not competing with Brandon Codrington for a spot. He's not a punt returner. It's not what he does. It's what Brandon Codrington does. So when you talk about it, you got to separate those two. They're not fighting for one spot. Now, they might numbers-wise be fighting for a spot, but not for the same actual spot as far as what their role is. Hope that makes sense. That's how I see this wide receiver thing happening. Now, Matt Bove, my co-host on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo, made a great point to me recently. And I credit him because he's right. And you can think about it like this, too. You could like Tyrell Shavers a lot. And he did some nice things. His first touch in the NFL, he went, 76 yards, 84 yards, whatever it was, for that touchdown against the Jets. He's a guy a lot of us thought would make the team at the end of camp last year, and he didn't. You could like Tyrell Shavers a lot. But I'll use him as an example here of what we're talking about. Sometimes, though, like Matt said in hockey with the Rochester Americans and guys you see, sometimes you have this ceiling that even though you look like you're right there to make the team, you've kind of hit your ceiling and other people are coming in that are just better, that are younger than you, and they have more potential. So they just kind of keep jumping you and jumping you. And that could be what winds up happening with Tyrell Shavers here. Yeah, we really like him. We could keep him. There's somebody else we really like also, and he's a little bit younger. Yeah, we really like him. We could keep him, but could he really stick for 17 games? Right? And then the next year, it's just like you don't get any better. At some point, you stop that development of being a guy that, oh, next year he's going to really hit a lot more. Guys like Jamarcus Ingram, who've kind of had that progression and wound up ultimately, and you know me, I've been talking about Jamarcus Ingram for 3-4 years now. And Jamarcus Ingram last year finally, you know, showed, hey, I'm ready to play and I'm ready to do this. But again, even if I talk about him, look what they did at corner. What does that tell you? It means that there's still an opportunity for others to pass him. Because at some point you say, okay, that's really good for what we need, but has he hit a ceiling? So I'm using this for a Tyrell Shavers. I'm using this for a Jamarcus Ingram. And you have to kind of think about the roster like that with how the Bills build it and how they think about it. The Bills have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 true corners, and I would say 12 with Cam Lewis, who's a nickel but can play safety, obviously. And I'm counting nickel. I'm counting inside and outside corners. They have 12 right now on the roster, if you count Lewis and Jordan Hancock, who are both going to kind of be nickels slash safeties. Slot corners slash safeties. So your thoughts, 803-0550 here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We're going to have Joe Arruda come your way next. Going to talk about Chase Lunt and the UConn offensive lineman. Also, I mean, he's a UConn basketball and football guy, so maybe chat a little about UConn basketball, college basketball as well. Always like to throw in a sneak in a question like that. But let's learn more about some more Bills draft picks today. We're going to learn about Chase Lunt. We're going to learn about Caden Prather. And we're going to learn about Elijah Moore from Jonathan Peterlin of The Fan in Cleveland when he comes aboard an hour from now. Good to be with you here on a Thursday. Sal Capaccio with you on WGR on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.